Have you ever spent a night in the wilderness? I grew up attending and then counseling at a summer girls' camp in the mountains of West Virginia. A few times each summer, we would set off in small groups on overnight trips into the woods surrounding camp. I can still imagine the deep shade, the tree cover, the quiet as we traveled away from camp and our modern conveniences. Life in the woods was challenging. We had to carry full packs uphill, build a fire, sometimes in the rain, and cook our food over that open fire. I lost count of the number of half-raw hamburgers I ate over the years when we just couldn't get the fire hot enough to cook our food completely. And yet that time camping out helped shape important parts of how I see myself today as someone who is capable, dependable, and deeply interconnected with others. The wilds of the West Virginia woods were where I discovered some key pieces of my own identity. From the Old Testament through our modern day, wilderness has been a powerful metaphor. The wilderness itself is often a place of difficulty, where the world is turned upside down and everyday life is much more challenging. For most people, it's not a permanent place to live, but a temporary place they inhabit during an especially challenging moment of their lives, a place of uncertainty and unsteadiness, a place they are eager to leave for someplace more promising. And yet the wilderness is also a place of learning and growth, a place where people prepare themselves for important things to come. Moses and the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before reaching the promised land. And during that time, they received the Ten Commandments directly from God. John the Baptist and his followers lived in the wilderness while preparing for his mission to preach repentance and baptize people, including Jesus, the Messiah. And Jesus himself spent a significant period of time in the wilderness at the start of his public ministry. Let's take a closer look at Jesus' time in the wilderness and his encounters with the tempter who tried to divert him from the path that God had prepared for him. The story that Marilyn read for us this morning begins immediately after John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, and the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. Immediately after his baptism, that same Spirit of God led Jesus away into the wilderness. This wasn't an accident or a surprise. It was all part of the divine plan for the life of Jesus, God's Son and Anointed One. The wilderness was very different from the woods where I grew up camping. The desert near the Jordan River was a dry, barren, rocky area, not a lush forest. In reality, there were few trees for shelter, and the sun beating down was probably extremely, extremely hot. And it was in this desolate place that Jesus began his ministry by fasting for 40 days, eating nothing and drinking probably very little. The amount of time, 40 days, may sound familiar. If you remember the Old Testament, when Noah and his family were on the boat with the animals during the great flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. After being freed from slavery in Egypt, the people of Israel spent 40 years in the desert. When Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, he fasted for 40 days. Fasted 40 years each. Jonah warned the people of Nineveh that their city would be destroyed in 40 days. And Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. In all of these examples, the number 40 was not used to define a precise amount of time the way we use it. It was used basically to mean a long, long time, and specifically the amount of time required to prepare for a transition or a new beginning. A period of 40 days or 40 years was a challenging but necessary time of waiting, usually leading up to a purification or a new beginning of some sort. So before setting out to preach and heal in God's name, Jesus spent significant time alone in the wilderness, preparing himself for the ministry to come. I know several ministers who have done something similar, setting aside a period of silent retreat and prayer alone to prepare themselves for their ordination. But Jesus did not just retreat into the wilderness. He also spent the time fasting. Fasting is much more than just skipping a meal or even a whole day's meals. For many people of faith, fasting is a spiritual discipline that sets aside the physical need to eat and drink in order to focus on spiritual connection with God. People of many world religions fast regularly. Our Jewish brothers and sisters fast for about 25 hours on Yom Kippur, the Holy Day of Atonement, when they seek forgiveness from God and others. During the holy month of Ramadan, which began this past Wednesday, our Muslim brothers and sisters fast from food, drink, and smoking every day from sunrise to sunset as a way of fostering self-discipline and gratitude and strengthening their relationship with God. And even within Christianity, many Catholic and Orthodox Christians fast on specific days during Lent to remind themselves that Jesus is more essential in their lives than food. Fasting is an important spiritual discipline for many people, but it's also a challenging one. Not surprisingly, at the end of 40 days of fasting, Jesus was famished. His hunger was a clear indication of his humanness. Like all of us, Jesus got really hungry when he didn't eat. And it was a very deep hunger, not that just that feeling of, oops, I skipped lunch and now I'm hungry, but that deep, nagging emptiness of someone who has been deprived of food for a very long time. It's easy to imagine how ready Jesus must have been to leave the wilderness at that moment, filled with passion for God and an excitement to share God's love, but also more than ready to begin by finding something to satisfy his hunger and thirst. But then, something unexpected happened. The tempter, the one we sometimes call Satan or the devil, arrived on the scene and tried three times to divert Jesus away from God's path for his ministry. Three times, the tempter tried to play on Jesus' human tendencies to satisfy his hunger, to ensure his safety, to claim power over others. And three times, Jesus refused the temptations, quoting Old Testament scriptures as reasons why. The three temptations were variations on the same theme of power. The tempter offered Jesus power in ways that would make his life easier and more comfortable, gain him a claim among others, and perhaps even spare him the horrible death on the cross that awaited him in Jerusalem on Good Friday. And yet Jesus resisted the three temptations because of his total reliance on God. Jesus knew that he was God's beloved. He had no need for the things the tempter offered, for God would provide whatever he needed. So why was Jesus taken into the wilderness and tempted at the beginning of his ministry? For the early readers of Matthew's gospel, the temptation story was important because it taught the early Christians and us important information about what it means to be the Son of God. The temptations were about who Jesus was and the kind of character he showed. They served as an introduction to this person, this Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, in the last moments before his public ministry began. And they began to paint a picture of Jesus that would continue throughout Matthew's gospel. It's important to remember that the people hearing and reading this story were a community of Jews who had already accepted Jesus as the Messiah. They heard these stories from a post-Easter point of view. They knew the basics of the story, leading up to and including the crucifixion and the resurrection. And yet there was still so much they were learning about Jesus, about who he was, how he lived and died, and what it really meant to be the Son of God. Jesus the Messiah was not a conquering military hero, as Jews had expected their Messiah to be for thousands of years. He rejected violence, power, and self-interest. He fully shared in the weakness of our own human situation, and in the process, he gave his followers an alternate vision of what God's kingdom on earth might look like. Matthew's audience was also a community living in a chaotic and divisive world, a world that had been occupied by the Roman military for more than 100 years. They knew that the path of being followers of Jesus would not be smooth and easy. This story gave them hope and guidance to carry with them when they confronted resistance in their mission to tell others about Jesus, the Son of God, and his message of love and humility. It's not a coincidence that we read this story on the first Sunday of Lent. As we said in worship on Ash Wednesday, Lent is a journey toward Easter that takes 40 days plus 6 Sundays, reminding us of these 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness. Lent is a journey into and through the wilderness, through a time of self-reflection and examination, a time of preparation for the challenges ahead, for the pain and despair of Good Friday, and for the incredible mystery of the resurrection. It is a time to fast, to pray, to reflect, to let go, and to connect more deeply with God. And it's not an easy journey. In today's world, most of us don't have the patience or focus to take a long journey, nor the courage to lean into the wilderness time as important in our lives. But wilderness stories are important as a part of the history of our history as people of faith. The author of Matthew's Gospel wrote the story we read today of the temptation of Jesus with clear parallels to the ancient story of the people of Israel escaping slavery and journeying toward the Promised Land. Jesus and his parents were refugees in Egypt when Jesus was a baby. The people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. The people of Israel passed through water at the start of their journey by walking through the Red Sea while God held back the water so they could cross safely. Jesus also passed through water into his ministry, the water of baptism. After going through the water, both Jesus and the people of Israel spent a long time in the wilderness where their faithfulness to God was tested many times. The Jewish audience hearing the story of Jesus' temptation would have noticed these parallels immediately and would have recognized the three scriptures Jesus used to answer the tempter. They were scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy that God gave to Moses and the people of Israel when testing them in the wilderness. The key difference is in how the people who were tested responded. The people of Israel responded to God's testing with fear. They asked to go back to Egypt. They longed for the familiarity of slavery over the uncertainty of freedom. And they chose to worship other gods rather than remain faithful to the one God alone. Yet Jesus went through testing just as challenging as the people of Israel faced, and yet maintained deep faith in God. Before the empty tomb on Easter morning, there was the journey of Christ to the brokenness of the cross. Yet we're uncomfortable with this journey of Lent. We want to rush through this season, and we look for loopholes in our Lenten practices. If I give up bread, can I still eat pizza? If I give up chocolate, can I still drink a mocha? We would much rather skip over Good Friday to get to the joy of the resurrection. Yet the path to Easter, is a winding journey that must go through the cross. Jesus preached with passion a new and radically inclusive vision of God's love for everyone, a vision that ultimately led to his death because he defied and frightened religious and political leaders. It was a journey that did not follow a familiar route, a journey that took him and his followers into new and uncharted and sometimes terrifying territory. And on that journey, the disciples discovered the true identity of this Jesus, the anointed one, the Son of God. And at the same time, they came to understand and claim their own identity as followers, missionaries, messengers of God's inclusive love. During Lent, we journey again with Jesus from the wilderness to the resurrection. But unlike Jesus, we do not go alone. We take this journey together with the whole Christian church, and we follow the one who has already completed the journey. And along the way, we rediscover our own true identity as followers of Christ. As we begin this season of contemplation that is Lent, let us all pause for a moment in this strange, unfamiliar wilderness to prepare ourselves for the journey to come. Amen.